Yosef. One of the most exciting of the Bible stories. It was common on Purim, back in the old country, for guys to put on what was called a Yosef spiel. A play, they'd act out the whole thing. The problem is, it's just so hard to believe. It is so hard to imagine. I remember this Motzoi Shabbos, I was speaking at Chaim Hirsch's program, and I remembered a story. This was a sharp yeshiva guy. He was in the hospital, and in the next bed, there was an old Polish apikoros. Someone who had grown up in Poland and went off and totally off. So the guy there was talking apikoros as usual. Saying, yeah, you know, David HaMelech, we know what he was like. King David, read the stories, all the terrible things he did, his morals. So this guy decided he was really gonna get this guy to think. So he tells him, yeah, you know, they say that they tell the same stories about the Ger Rebbe back in Poland. Yeah, this thing going with some young newlywed wife of somebody. So the guy suddenly gets really serious and he says, listen, kid, you don't talk about the Ger Rebbe. I saw him. I saw the Ger Rebbe. You don't go tell me stories about it. So obviously the guy told him, and who do you think was greater, the Ger Rebbe or David HaMelech? Would you sell a brother? We nobodies. Who are we? I don't know what you did to your brothers. You'd sell a brother? Who are we talking about? How do you sell a brother? Yeah, it's an exciting story, how it plays out, whole business. How do you do such a thing? Now, first you throw them in a pit, and there was no water there, only snakes and scorpions. Then, oh, you know, we can't kill them, so you sell them. One reason we can't understand it is because we are such little people. And we'd never do a thing like that because we would never have values that are strong enough to go sell a brother. We would never believe in anything strongly enough to go do an act that's seemingly so callous. What's interesting is that when Yosef finally reveals himself, so what he does is he wants to get the brothers to realize they've done something wrong. So he sets them up there. They're putting themselves out for Binyamin, because what's going to be if they come back without Binyamin? What's going to happen to their father? So finally he gets them, and when you sold Yosef, you didn't worry about your father? That's the problem. That's the problem. More than that, when they realized things weren't going straight, so it's there they were among themselves, they were discussing, and they said, you know why this is happening? Because we were callous, we were deaf to Yosef's cries. He was not ready to reveal himself then. That wasn't enough of regret. That was regretting the fact that he cried and they didn't take him seriously. That wasn't enough. Where does he really get them? What did they do wrong that's really got to become clear to them? You didn't care about my father? In other words, as far as the sale, he understood where it was coming from. They were not a bunch of bad kids selling a brother. So where were they coming from? And this is beyond this. Where were they coming from? So what we've been taught is that there was a real struggle for the leadership of the Jewish nation over the generations. This wasn't a power struggle. It was a question of, well, who's right, what's right? Yaakov Avinu was tricked into having two wives. He was tricked into marrying Leah, and then he got Rachel. The one he was supposed to marry was Rachel. Her firstborn was Yosef. He was not Yaakov's firstborn because he ended up marrying Leah first. And of Leah's children, the one that assumed the kingdom, the one that got the throne, was Yehuda. There were two firstborns. The firstborn to the intended, and the firstborn that was really the firstborn. The first wife he married. And there was a deep ideological dispute here. There's the intended one, and there's the actual one. And the Torah goes on. We read of the character of Yosef, and we read the Yehuda story. Yehuda is portrayed as one who made a mistake in the tshuva, and Yosef as the tzaddik. Yosef is perfection. Yosef is what was intended. Yehuda is a story of real life. And in real life, it's not so perfect. It wasn't intended that way. We shouldn't have been mortals. There shouldn't have been sin. There shouldn't have been golos. We were not created to suffer. We were not created to stray. But in reality, Yaakov was tricked, and Adam sinned, and Yehuda had his parsha. And look at humanity. Is this what Hashem had in mind? Was this what creation was all about? And there's an ideological struggle here. What is the true face of the Jewish nation? The intended one, or the rather poor actual one that came to be? This is a major ideological dispute. To the very end, there are two Mashiachs. There's a Mashiach ben Yosef and a Mashiach ben David. And it's only at the very, very end that we read a prophecy to Yechezkel. Take two pieces of wood. Write Yehuda on one side and Ephraim on the other side and put them together and let them become one piece of wood. And in the end of days, it's all going to work out. a major ideological dispute. In terms of the lessons for ourselves, yeah, we also walk around with the picture of what we should have been and the picture of what we are. We have a hard time coming to terms with that. Something within us wants to measure ourselves by what we were supposed to be. And sometimes we even pretend that. And at other times, we're just depressed. If only. And then there's the actual side. They're both there, and there's reason for it. If we don't have the image of what we were supposed to be, we will be complacent with whom we are. If we walk around with the image of whom we're supposed to be only, you're always down in the dumps because we'll never measure up to it. Adam did sin. We are mortal. We do make mistakes. And success in this world after sin is to understand that it's possible to pick yourself up. Perhaps not match that image, the untarnished image of perfection. But there's plenty of greatness that can be attained only if you appreciate the process of rebuilding. For ourselves, the dichotomy is necessary. Yes, we're not Adam, we're after Adam. Sin, mistakes, messing ourselves up is almost inevitable. It's part of life. Growing up is learning to make mistakes, pick up the pieces, learn from them. In the very end, it's all going to work out. They're both necessary. But in the interim, there's a struggle. That's the lesson for us. But getting back to the brothers, it's so hard to understand and so dangerous to understand how people like that, the word people isn't even appropriate, they can go sell a brother because there's a right and there's a wrong. And there's a threat to the future kingdom of Klal Yisrael. There's someone here that's presenting another side. There's someone who believes that the future of the Jewish nation is different than the way it really seems to have turned out. And that can't be tolerated, even if it means selling a brother. And the sale was a compromise. What they really felt was off with his head. It's so dangerous. You think of all the people today who feel that it's right to kill because of something they believe in. It's so dangerous. Luckily, the Yosef story has a happy ending. And you know something? He even comes out ahead. The way we read it in the Chumash, he was right. And we've suffered because of the sale of Yosef. It's an important lesson. But we've got to know that the other side exists as well. It's a dangerous thought. But we find it later. The tribe of Levi was chosen. In the bracha of Levi, Moshe Rabbeinu says, Ha'omer lo aviv uli'imo lo re'isiv. Capable of killing a parent. How a parent? Why wasn't the parent a Levi? It was the entire tribe of Levi that did not bow down to the Egel Azov, to the golden calf. What it meant was a step-parent. Brothers. Brothers. Pretend you don't know your half-brother who isn't from the tribe of Levi. They're given credit for that. And there too, you got to be careful. You got to be careful. It is so dangerous. This can only be said to a people that has a very high standard of morals, ethics, care. We are rachmonim, bayshonim, and gomlei chasodim. Our nature is to be sensitive, to be caring, to be concerned. This is only a lesson that is to be taught when you're dealing with great people. For us nobodies, there's never such a situation. But you've got to appreciate that right and wrong are greater than family and friends and even oneself. But you've got to be careful when talking in those terms, because we are little people. The Sfarim write, the Sfasemis mentions it with the Akedah. So people ask, what was so great if Hashem would come and tell you to do something, you wouldn't listen? Painful as it was. Hashem spoke to him. He said, yeah. Problem is that it said, Kachna es bincha es yechidcha asher ahavta, your beloved son. He had to go and slaughter him without losing any bit of feeling for him. When you go and do something like that, the only way you can go about it is by becoming cold. By removing yourself from the situation. That's not the way it works. That's not what Mesiris Nefesh is all about. The brothers did not sell Yosef because they couldn't care less. You can be sure of that. It's funny talking this way. Whom are we talking about? You can be sure that Mother Teresa is a murderer when compared to the brothers of Yosef. You can be sure. For them, we can talk about ideals. The B'nai Levi. You can be sure they were not callous. So appreciate Yosef's brothers knew what they were doing. And it has to be done at times. And if anything, it's greatness and strength of character. But only because of who they were. And when little people do things like that, they are not acts of greatness. Remember the story of Pinchas, who gets Brisi Shalom, the peace prize, for killing. You don't get the peace prize for killing simply because you're a zealot. If you're zealous by nature, fine, all right. Give you a medal for your valor, not peace. It's only because you care. So the moral of the story is, there are times, there are situations where there are values that have to come even before your most basic feelings. And you have to allow your brain to process that. Maintain your feelings, but no, brokenheartedly, it has to be done anyhow. And the other message being just that dichotomy of living with what you could have been and understanding who you are and understanding that bridging that gap is your goal. Being discouraged because you compare yourself to whom you could have been. Giving up will get you nowhere. We can all still become great human beings, and in the end of days, Klal Yisrael will be able to be that. And Klal Yisrael will look back and see all the mistakes we made and all the terrible things we did. Now, despite it all, we've survived and grown and been a great people.